Keep your family safe by disposing of unused opioids. That's the message from the Pennyroyal Center's Remove the Risk program, which urges people to keep opioids out of the reach of children and to never share pain medication with others. If you have unused opioids that are no longer needed, find an authorized disposal center by visiting fda.gov/drug disposal.
Welcome to another Crittenden Press podcast. I'm Chris Evans, the editor of the newspaper here in Marion, Kentucky, and we have as our guest today Mr. Vince Clark, who is superintendent of schools here in the Crittenden County School District. And this is the second in a three-part series of podcasts that we're doing on end of the year, some school legislation, a new high school is on the horizon, just so many things going on with the school district that we just felt like we had to get more information out to the public than we were able to do in the newspaper alone. And this is a great opportunity to have some time for Mr. Clark. I know he has a busy schedule, but thank you again for being here on the Pennyroyal Center Protect Children by Removing the Risk podcast. That's our sponsor, is the Pennyroyal Center, and we'll have some more information on that at the end of this program. So, Mr. Clark, we talked in the first podcast about the school calendar for the rest of the year and even into the next academic year. Now we want to touch on the new construction, a lot of excitement in possibly having a new high school, the way it's looking, and then also this legislation that's just come out of Frankfort. So where would you like to begin? So many things to talk about.
Yeah. Well, let's start with the possibility of some new construction for our high school. Just wanted to applaud the efforts of our district facility plan and local planning committee folks. We had about 14 folks that started meeting last July, and we've been meeting about every other month since then, hammering out our district facility plan. Moving forward, we're supposed to do that at once every 4 years. They have worked hard, given a lot of time in that. It's a collaboration with local representation. Of course, all the folks on this committee are Crittenden County residents. Mm-hmm.
Do you know all those people off the top of your head?
Do I know them? I've taught most of them or coached most of them in school.
Can you list their names? I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you had that, I think people, it's hard to find 14 people anywhere that will kind of step out of the crowd and say, yes, I'll be involved in this. I'll give them my time and my energy and my expertise to be a part of something like this, because it's not easy. It's a very thankless job. It's just like being on a school board, one of the toughest jobs around. So who's on here?
It is. It's a big deal, you know. And like in 2017, you know, we had $32 million of unmet need for the district. And that's, you know, that's everything on that. And I'll certainly would be happy to name these folks because they're parents, they're teachers, they're building administrators, they're community folks, mm-hmm. In our community. But Adria Porter, Jeremy Poindexter, Kelly Perriman, Sabrina Stokes, Bryce Winders, Howard Suggs, Sarah Riley, Kara Turley, Stephanie Shoulders, Greg Binkley, Tanya Driver, Tanner Tabor, Dan Wood, and our board member rep was Tim Grau. On there, Adam Leffer joined as a city administrator for us. Pete Galloway was our facilitator. He's from Graves County. And then Jeannie Cannon from our architect, RBS, in Owensboro, joined most all the meetings as well. We met on Monday to finalize some things. We had been going back and forth with Kentucky Department of Education facilities on what we proposed, what we needed for our students moving forward with KDE. And, we never could get their blessing on that to move forward. And it really came down to, we were asking for 20 classrooms with the principal's office and supporting classrooms or resource rooms in that.
And this would be in the new high school.
This would be in the proposed new high school, mm-hmm. which
would be where? About where the football field is?
Where the football practice field is. It would be would be on the backside of Rocket Arena, mm-hmm. Connected to Rocket Arena. still accessible, you know, to the greenhouse, the ag department, the arts, the music, which is on the other side of Rocket Arena. But we, you know, we were proposing those 20 classrooms, and KDE essentially would not bless the health classroom that we were asking for, and the foreign language classroom that we were asking for. And we needed those space. So after much contemplation, what we decided to do was to suspend our current district facility plan, our 2021 plan. We'll pick that back up in 2023 and subtract any new construction that we do to that, and probably approve that in 2024. But we'll suspend the current plan, and we will continue forward with our 2017 plan. That was LPC approved, Crittenden County Board of Education approved, and Kentucky Board of Education approved. And those spaces are included in that plan with additional spaces. So it's actually an additional 10,000 square feet of approved space. Now, the fact of the matter is we can't afford, you know, to build that additional 10,000 square feet, but it's there. If something happened where we were able to, you know, tap into some urgent needs monies or things like that. But the main thing is it does include those 20 classrooms that this LPC said was critical moving forward, which includes that health classroom and the Spanish room.
And I guess for those who are trying to understand this or want to understand this, it's just some maneuvering to get past some bureaucratic requirements that are currently in place that were not maybe in place in 2017. Just some different things that were had to be tweaked nowadays. So you've been able to step back in time, take a plan that was already approved, and say this is what we're going to do since it's already approved. We're just going to kick it forward now. And would that be a safe characterization of it?
Pretty much, it is. You know, in checking the regulation, if it's within 8 years, we're allowed to do that. It still reflects our needs for our district and moving forward. And you know, I think it's a good plan, because the thing, we've been doing this back and forth actually since September of last year with KDE, and you know, we were just swinging at a moving target. You know, every time we get feedback, it would be something else that we would have to address. And in order to kind of move forward with the plan and hopefully take advantage of lower interest rates, we know last year construction costs were down
a
little bit,
though,
but they're up now. And we just needed the option, you know, to kind of pull the trigger on some of these things, because waiting was not going to be to our advantage. Yeah. So this puts us, I feel like this puts us in the driver's seat on this, so that we can decide what happens now. And we're in a position to move forward.
So if you would describe a little more about what this footprint is going to look like, where it's going to be. So the school, you're going to raise part of the old middle school, and then the middle school will start occupying what is currently the high school now, and then the high school will be in their new facility back behind Rocket Arena over toward old Shady Grove. No, that's old Salem Road. Excuse me. Too many old roads around here. But and then there's part of this plan will include some athletic facilities and moving the football field, right?
Well, it could be. Those are actually in phase two. Okay. Those would be, you know, the next phase in that. So to answer your question is, yeah, it would be on the backside of Rocket Arena. You would access the new school from Belleville Street. There would be a parking lot in front of that as well. We would try to preserve the existing practice football field that's back there as well. Eventually we would like to have a softball field on this campus, and we would like to have a track on this campus. And once secondary to, you know, the new high school.
So the construction of those would not be done at the same time as the high school?
Not right now. Okay. No, it wouldn't. No. And essentially what, you know, what we're trying to do is we're trying to have a win for the middle school, and we're trying to have a win for the high school. So we're naturally, we're building these classrooms for the high school, but that is so that the middle school students can move into the existing high school. And then we would tear down the 1949 portion of the middle school. We would keep the eighth grade wing that is connected to the old middle school gym. Love that gym there. And eventually
and
another staying, yeah. Yeah, the eighth grade wing would stay.
And the gym stays.
And the gym stays, absolutely, it would. And eventually, maybe, you know, in a phase on past the high school, that eighth grade wing would become the board central offices for our district so that we could have all of our folks under one roof and have meeting space there as well. So we would utilize, you know, that space to kind of have a central place for all of our staff. Because right now we have some folks here in this building, but we have some folks on the elementary campus. We have some folks in the house down here by the middle school.
And we are recording this in your office on campus at the very small central office.
Yeah, it is. So yeah. So when I say it would be a win for the middle school, it would be a win for the high school. It would actually be a win for the central office as well. So that, you know, that's kind of what, if things could unfold as we have planned, that's what we would hope to do, is to build those classrooms on the backside of Rocket Arena. We would build a covered walkway from Rocket Arena to the existing high school, because those kids would still have to come over and take art and ag and music, and they would have their breakfast and lunch, you know, in the existing cafeteria. And for the time being, they would continue to share the media library center as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, something that's been in the works for several years that may be soon to come to fruition is the highway garage, or the state highway maintenance facility here on the north side of campus. You have an opportunity to buy that. You've had an option on that property for many, many years, knowing that the highway department was going to move out to the new industrial park on the north side of town. So what's the progress in that, and will part of that property be used in this construction?
Well, part of that property, when we can obtain that, and we're in the process of that right now. It's a three-way deal between economic development, the state road department, and the Crittenden County Schools. We can purchase that property when it becomes available for $60,000, and can be paid out over 5 years to kind of expand our campus, because it is adjacent to our campus. It's adjacent to our current football field, as a matter of fact.
Wonderful backdrop to football games too, all the heavy equipment, salt trucks.
yeah. And, you know, I would, you know, my dream for this campus and our students and the future of our programs would be to eventually have a softball field, yeah, and a track. In that area. It's a place that we can create and maintain here on our campus as well. I know you mentioned the football field earlier, and I think that would be a decision that our programs, our board, and our community would have to decide, is if we would keep the football field where it is and then put the track in another location, you know, adjacent to that, or if we would turn the football field and put a track around the football field and put it in that space that would encompass where the football field is currently, along with the state road department. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a decision that would have to be made later. That really has not been decided at this point, and it's certainly a couple phases on down the line, and it would be into the future.
You know, it's one thing to build a new high school. It's another to touch sacred ground like the football field. So let's kind of move into the next part of this podcast. As we mentioned, this is the second in a series of three. We do want to touch on some of this new legislation. While we're on sports, and this new bill, Senate Bill 128, will have some effect possibly on student athletes, but it's primarily aimed at giving students an opportunity to feel like they've missed part of their education, frankly, here during the pandemic. And this is going to allow them to do over, and it's giving school boards options to accept this and to make it part of their practice or to completely deny it. So what do you foresee happening with all this, Mr. Carter?
You know, I really can't. This has been one of those things that's kind of been thrown in the mix and all this, and I know it's been described as a do-over bill. You know, it's a supplemental year for folks. And here's what I know at this point. We are gathering information daily on this from the Kentucky School Boards Association, from the Kentucky Department of Education, who's supposed to be giving guidance to us on Monday, April the 5th.
The first day of spring break.
The first day of spring break. But I think people in Frankfort take their spring break this week, so they don't, which really doesn't matter to them, I know. But we're supposed to get guidance on this supplemental year. And I know a lot of people are seeing it as like an athletic, another year of athletic eligibility. And
it certainly, that provision was included in all the discussion and the passage of this.
So. Yeah. And so here's what I do know. I do know that the bill allows folks to submit an application to be considered for a supplemental year. And that's due on May the 1st. And then, that being said, I'm not sure at this point if we have to create the application or if KDE will provide that application so there's some uniformity to that or not. But that's what we're waiting on that. So what would happen is we would receive these applications by May the 1st, and then we would evaluate those evaluations during May. And then the board would decide if we would accept them or we would deny them.
And it's one or all.
It's all or none, yeah. On that. Now, with that being said, that does not trump existing policies and practices that we have as far as repeating a school year, say for a kindergartner, mm-hmm. or a first grader, or maybe a fifth grader or seventh grader that has failed, mm-hmm. This year has been a challenge academically for kids. Now, we have been committed to 5 days a week of in-person learning. We've engaged our virtual learners the best that I can see better than any other school district has with our Pathblazer and our Edgenuity platforms as well. It hasn't been perfect, you know. I do see some current concerns about kindergartners and first graders that haven't been in-person learning, and they have failed to kind of reach their academic milestones, with reading and holding a pencil and, mm-hmm. Math facts and things like that. On the other hand, I've been concerned, about these kids that go to the ATC in Princeton, whose teachers weren't allowed to teach them a full year. As well, but did a lot of worksheets. So, I mean, that doesn't work for welders and plumbers and construction and electrical and information technology and things like that. So it's just going to be, I guess my point is, I see some validity in it when it comes to academics. There's going to be some pockets of that, and we will evaluate those wholly as well. And we will make a decision on June the 1st on if we accept those. But this law does not trump existing policies mm-hmm. that where we may hold a kindergartner or first grader back because academically it's just in their best interest. Or if we had a seventh grade virtual learner that absolutely did very little virtually, okay, and they may need another year of academics to get caught up.
So there may be some existing opportunity to achieve the goals of this legislation without all the extras that could potentially come with it and some consequences that might stress the system because you don't know how many students.
You don't know how many students. You don't know what pressure that's going to put on space, staffing, okay, funding. Will Frankfurt, will we receive SEEK funding for that? Now, we did get some guidance this week from the Kentucky Higher Education Assistance Authority, who manages you know, the dual credit scholarships, the work ready scholarships, the discounted rate for those kids that do dual credits on that. And basically what they said for a graduate, those scholarships would not be available for these returning seniors. If they came back and they did take the dual credit classes and the Board of Education said, you know, we will grant you a supplemental year, then they would take those classes at the full community college and university rate on that. And those scholarships would not be available for those kids. So I'd heard some kids saying that they might come back, you know, just to take dual credit classes as
have
well.
Have you had very many inquiries about this possibility?
I have not. Okay. No, not personally, no. No one's really reached out to me.
Well, let's move on to the next piece of legislation that we want to discuss, which is House Bill 563. And I think it would be safe to say that you have not been an advocate for this. Neither has the governor. He vetoed it, and it was overridden by the General Assembly. And this is has to do with tax credits. Again, House Bill 563, if you want to look that up and read more about it. But what it does is it offers low-income families as well as others, even commercial businesses that want to contribute to education. It offers them some tax incentives. And you feel like, I know our discussions prior to today, you feel like this could have an adverse effect on public education.
Well, not only public education, but just our state, you know, overall. I'm really concerned I want people to understand, we're talking about a tax credit, which ends
it's
up
not
almost
a tax deduction.
It's not a tax deduction.
A credit, yes.
And
very attractive to those.
Absolutely. A tax credit is almost a dollar for dollar credit. I think in this case, it's right around 95 cents per dollar. So it's almost a dollar for dollar, you know, credit on the, and folks already have the tax deduction opportunity, for this, from what I understand. But when you talk about, using these tax credits, and from what I understand from my research as superintendent previously, it's like in our state, you know, we take in about $11 or $12 billion of tax revenue each year. But our state also gives $13 billion of tax credits away. And now what we're doing is we're adding another level of tax credit to this, which is going to be taking money from the state general fund, okay? From what I understand, which will not only impact public education, where there's a lot of things not fully funded, or hasn't been fully funded for quite some time, such as transportation. Kindergarten has not been fully funded. It's been funded at 50%. And I understand that they tag fully funding kindergarten onto this bill, that if folks would vote for it, then they would fully fund, which upsets me to some degree that apparently funding is there, but they've used it as a leverage point to get the votes to pass for this. But we're going to be robbing our general fund of tax dollars that could be going not only to public education, but also roads and bridges and healthcare and other things in our communities that we might need. I know that's been said, well, there's a $25 million limit on it. There is for now, but it's an escalator. So it continues to grow as well, okay? And it will be hundreds of millions of dollars. As a matter of fact, one report that I saw said that it could cost our state $1 billion around the 15-year mark on this. Well, I just think about what could Kentucky do with $1 billion for public education, for our roads, for our bridges, and in our communities, our parks, and things like that? I mean, we could make a list a mile long that those things. Just to serve, now the way the law reads, as I understand it, private schools in a select 9 counties in our state. So I'm not really sure, number one, how constitutional it is to use public tax dollars to provide these private school vouchers. Number two, how constitutional is it to target the private schools in those 9 counties as well? So there's just some real concerns for me around all that.
The governor has said that there's been overtures that he would challenge this in court as unconstitutional. And as you say, really not an issue here on the ground, particularly as how it could affect us financially, and not particularly losing students as much. But it is an issue in those.
I don't know, Chris. I mean, I'll have to push back on, you know, what's the impact locally? And I've asked that question, mm-hmm. You know, how does this bill, help Crittenden County students? Mm-hmm. You know, how does this bill have a positive impact on our community? Because what happens is this. In the last 10 years, in the last 12 years, our local effort has increased from 25% to 32%, almost a third, okay?
Our
local tax, okay, that we pitch in on public schools. And the reason for that is because the state has pulled back.
They're reducing
funding.
Wanting more at the local level.
So in order to maintain essential services and to cover some of these unfunded mandates that the state continues to put on us, the local effort has increased. And I'm afraid the impact will be, it will continue to grow. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's gone from 25% locally to 32% locally, and now we are looking at hundreds of millions of dollars in our state not being available, you know, to support these educational initiatives for public school, which is one of the primary reasons for our legislators is to provide common schools for the public good in Kentucky. And you know, I'm just so thankful for our educators and what they do, all that they do here. You know, will it force our Board of Education to raise taxes, mm-hmm, you know, to continue the things that we're doing for students in our community?
It certainly raises the question about equity among schools and it, across education. And most people remember the Kentucky Education Reform Act, and that was its aim, was to create that equity. And here there could be some opportunity to balance or unbalance the scales, you might say. So, okay, I'll tell you, Mr. Clark, time flies. We've been discussing these issues almost 30 minutes now, and I'll remind our listeners, this is the second in a 3-part series about your local school district and things that are going on, not just pandemic issues, but legislation and the calendar for this year and for next year. And we will have the next podcast in this series coming up, and we'll release it here in a few days. So be on the lookout for it on the Crittenden Press website. This will be all released some period during spring break. But we'll be talking about staffing and positions, and I know that's a important issue for people in the community. And we'll also talk about the Crittenden County Rocket Foundation and how you can join in and be part of building a stronger education here in Crittenden County. We appreciate the Penny Royal Center and its Protect Children alarm going off here. So we're here in Mr. Clark's office, and we will be back for our third in the series in just a few days, and we appreciate all of our listeners. Thank you.
Keep your family safe by disposing of unused opioids. That's the message from the Penny Royal Center's Remove the Risk program, which urges people to keep opioids out of the reach of children and to never share pain medication with others. If you have unused opioids that are no longer needed, find an authorized disposal center by visiting